Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, April the 10th, 2020. This is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 7 and page 102, Working with Others, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, Many of Us Keep Liquor. And we're going to read that one paragraph only. It finishes on top of page 102, ought to decide for themselves. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dory P. for the 12 Steps, Pam M. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E. B., and Brandy M. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Don B. for announcements, and Lynn S. is our recorder. Thanks, everyone, for their service this morning. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April the 9th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,408. That's 14408. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, April 10th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,413. That's 1413. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery for the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA. And I will now ask Dory P. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, everybody. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Dory. And now Pam M. will read our 12 traditions. Pam, good morning.
Good morning. Blessed morning to you and everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, recovered. For today, the 12 traditions of OA. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone. I pass.
And thank you, Pam M., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. And that does include your own mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. Just use star 1 to mute and star 1 to unmute. That way we can have a nice quiet evening meeting. And we appreciate your cooperation. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 102 on the third paragraph, starting with many of us keep liquor, and it ends on top of page 103, ought to decide for themselves. And now Jordanelle is going to start reading. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting with you guys this morning. So many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. And I am, I guess I happen to be one of those people. I have alcoholic foods all over my home. When I got abstinent, I was actually working as a food and beverage manager, which is pretty ironic. So I had, I was surrounded by pies and cakes and desserts of all sort every single night at work. So I had to get used to the idea of that pretty quickly. And don't get me wrong, it was super hard, man. It took me a good year to get to the point where like smells didn't trigger me, you know, like smells didn't trigger obsessive thoughts about food, you know. I was actually blown away the first time that happened. So this is something that the alcoholic foods in my home, they don't bother me. They're actually less appealing than ever these days. We had my parents here for Christmas this year. We like hosted Christmas, so it was like my mom and my dad and my sister and my brother, and we have a tiny little house in Gunnison. It's just over 1,000 square feet. So it was like packed full of my family, which everyone else in my family is like similar to me. They're very loud and in your face, and it was quite the scene for sure. But the house was stocked with the kind of food that they like to eat, you know. And it's all good. It wasn't a problem. My roommate actually just pulled out the ice cream that my dad left here after Christmas. He pulled it out the other day, and it was all like freezer burned and disgusting. So it is what it is, you know. Those were my own circumstances. I realize that is not the case for everyone. I have the two sponsees that I have right now, they both live alone. They don't have others in the house with them. So if that were the case for me, I probably wouldn't have alcoholic foods in my home. There is no reason for me to if I am living by myself, you know. I think it's really important that each one of us are given the dignity to make that decision for ourselves, you know, so that we're willing to own it and be accountable for the consequences of it, you know. So anyway, Greg will be on the line this morning. That is all that I have.
Well, thank you, Jordan L. Thank you for getting us started this morning. So just reminding everybody, we are on page 102, the third paragraph, starting with, many of us keep liquor, and then it ends on top of page 103 where it says ought to decide for themselves. And before I take names, I just want to remind everybody, we've had such an increase in attendance, which we're so grateful for, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others to might share their experience too. And we thank you for your cooperation. So who would like to share this morning?
Hi, Brenda.
B.
Irene.
Julie B.
Marie J.
Candace D.
All right. I have Julie B., Marie J., Irene B.
Brenda
B. Irene.
Irene, I have you. Thank you so much,
oh,
Irene.
Oh,
I do have you.
Thank you. I'm
thank
so
you.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Candy K.
Okay, hold on. Did I hear another? Did I hear? Please go ahead. Okay. That got all jumbled in there, folks. I heard something K. Who was that?
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Thank you, Sandy K.
Thank you.
All right.
Heather W.
I heard a is that Brandy? Was that you, Brandy M?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha, Brandy. Thanks.
Heather W.
Heather, I will take you on the next round. You'll be the first one, okay? Thank you. All right. So I have Julie E.B., Marie J., Irene B., Sandy K., and Brandy M. And we'll have Heather on the next round being first. Okay. So Julie E.B., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Marie J. Good morning, Julie. Julie, are you there? Star one to unmute, Julie E.B.
I'm here. I'm moving in COVID time here. I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, compulsive over and under eater, and I'm just really glad to be here. Grateful that I do have food neutrality, that there are different foods around. I think one of the neatest things about this section here is we know that the bottle is but a symbol. So it is true that we can keep liquor in our homes and we can keep our foods there. We don't have the same physical dangers most of the time for these hangovers they were treating. So that part is really not as much for us, but we do need to support other people in our program that are going through that withdrawal process and help them, share with them how we, I mean, I've been on the phone with people while they go to the grocery store, and I've supported people in those early days that have the night eating and need to make a call late at night. I don't feel very comfortable serving food if I notice some things in those other folks that really make it hard. I have a family member, you know, that's struggling, and, you know, last summer sort of everybody's food started disappearing, and I just had kind of an honest talk. What do you want to do? What can we provide? What can't we provide? And you know, can we get this food kind of out of your eyesight? It's one of your binge foods. So it's a beautiful program that allows every family to decide for themselves. I think that if alcohol is but a symbol, I also have to remember that if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I can't really, it's not about just blaming the liquor. Now, if I'm just starting, there's just a lot of sights and sounds and smells. These days we don't have that many occasions, but for many of us, our homes, certain rooms in our homes can be triggers, standing up, sitting down, all those different kinds of food behaviors. You know, I've been absent from eating food with my hands, and that behavior was one that lots of people eat with their hands, but it was one that when I cleared off the decks on that one, hand to mouth, which I did to the gates of insanity and death, it was a really clarifying behavior that helped me to get abstinent and stay safe and protected. But I also have to remember, just like liquor is not a trigger, I can't blame my family if I'm being disruptive or irritated. My kids may be arguing with oven mitts, and by kids I mean 19 and 16, and I'm, because they're stir crazy. But they're not the problem. I'm the problem, and how I react. They're but a symbol. So I need to get into my 10, 11, and 12. Thanks for letting me share. Sorry about the long share. Bye.
Thank you, Julie B. And Marie J., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. This is Marie J. I'm recovered in Colorado and so happy to be on this call. I haven't been on this this time slot in a very long time. And you know what I have learned over a long time being neutral, that if I'm to be neutral from the allergy of this body, then being around sugar is never going to be a problem. If I truly am neutral from the allergy, which means I have to know what I can and can't eat. And it reminds me of, the miracle of this is that I used to be such a sugar addict and such a frosting junkie. And today I can make frosted sugar cookies with my 12-year-old twins and decorate them and just have fun and have that shared experience. But it's a craft project. I'm no longer, triggered by the smell of the sugar or anything visually about the sugar. I'm neutral. But what I know is that the key to this for me is being neutral means I have to be rigorously honest about what I can and can't eat. I have to know, and I have to keep examining it, because stuff came up later in my program that was never a trigger that became a trigger. And as long as I am rigorously honest, and then the other piece of it is surrender to higher power's will for me. And for me, and this is just for me, I'm not trying to prescribe this to anybody, but it means that I have to have a food plan. I have to write it down. I have to have a nutritionist, and I have to weigh and measure my food. Everybody's different, but this is what helps me sustain my food neutrality so that I can be around sugar and give sugar to my kids and give cookies to my kids and not have to think about it or be triggered by it. You know, everybody else has their own plan. Everybody's got a different plan. That's what the beauty of this program is. We figure that out with ourselves, with our higher power, with our sponsors, with the book. And I don't pretend to know what works for you, and I certainly don't pretend to prescribe what others should do, but I do know that this book tells me that I have to be rigorously honest around my food, and I have to surrender to God's will. And those are common elements that this book tells us to do to find our path to our own truth about what works for us and what helps us to carry through and be neutral and be able to be around these things that used to really cause me misery and really self-destruction. So being rigorously honest and connecting with that higher power, those are the two things that sustain my neutrality so that I can live in freedom and peace and serenity. That's all I got. Thanks.
Okay. And Irene B., you're up, followed by Sandy K. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic with an occasional brush against anorexia, actually, not very frequently. I had to underline the phrase, in light of their own circumstances. I think that's a very key phrasing there. We've all talked about the fit spiritual condition, and how I feel today doesn't necessarily reflect how I will feel tomorrow. My fit spiritual condition varies on a day-to-day basis, on a situation-by-situation basis. That's what comes to mind. And I live alone, and I had a birthday party some time ago and ended up keeping some ice cream in the freezer. And it stayed there for over a year. I'm sure it was freezer burn, but did that ever stop me from eating the food? Heck no. Of course, nothing ever got freezer burned, but if I went to somebody else's house and they had freezer burn ice cream, I would eat that. Well, freezer burn, that never stopped me. But be it as it may, I have had people come to my house and notice, like, oh my gosh, I couldn't keep that in my house. Well, for me, that's not my food. You know, it's just not my food. So it's like I don't even see it because it's not my food. Now, when I get triggered these days, I'm not going to pick up my alcoholic foods, but I will overeat my abstinent foods. You know, I won't binge and purge, but, you know, I will eat more because I'm engaging in emotional eating. And I will do that at times. I am not perfect. By the grace of God, I've not binged and purged in over 3 years now. So what a great miracle that is. But I have to know who I am, and I have the right to be. And one time my enmeshed sister, I think that we're enmeshed, she saw the ice cream and she said, ooh, can I have some ice cream? And she too is bulimic. We're both bulimic. And my pride wanted to say, oh, it's okay. And then I realized that we used to binge together. And if I would have seen her eating that ice cream in front of me, that would have really triggered me. And I put I had to pause for a minute. Okay. Oh, shocking. No reaction. No, you know, I actually paused. I didn't say anything immediately. And then I considered the situation and said, you know what? I don't think that would be very helpful to me. You know, she wasn't going to binge and purge. She was just going to eat it. But I had the presence of mind to say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And I have to share how selfish I was in my disease, because there was a time in my life when I had to stay at her apartment. And I was bulimic, and she was trying to recover from bulimia. And she was very angry with me because I would binge and purge, and she didn't want me to do that in her apartment because it was difficult for her. And, you know, I could no more control that than I could go to the moon, that is, to stop the binging and purging. But at the same time, that was very selfish on my part that I did disregard her request. And by the grace of God, I'm not that person anymore. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Irene B. Sandy K., you're up, followed by Brandy M. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be on this call.
these calls are saving my life. I'm Sandy Kay, compulsive overeater, grateful compulsive overeater in South Florida. And I love reading the big book because there's always sentences and words in here that I had never seen before. I guess in the middle of the night, the word fairy came and put them in. But it said many of us keep liquor in our homes. When I first got into program, my son was 3, and I have a really strong memory about his first birthday while I was in recovery. And I was in the kitchen, and I was cutting his birthday cake. And I remember I got, I guess, frosting on my fingers, and I ran to the sink like, you know, sort of the big book says, you touch the stove and you recoil. And I washed the frosting off my fingers so fast because I could have, in the, you know, maybe a few months before that, licked them. So because I had a young son who, and I, for the most part, when he was younger, I was a single parent, I still had to keep food in the house for him. It wasn't fair to deprive him of some stuff that I was allergic to. Being that I was, so also when I have people over my house for parties, most all the time, it's not only food addicts, it's a mix of people. So I'm always serving food that I'm not going to eat, but I also make sure that there's food for me and my friends that are in program that they can eat. And I don't tell anybody what they can eat or what they can't, but certainly if I was going to have a group of 10 compulsive overeaters come to my house, I'm not going to serve anything that most people who are in program are not going to eat. All that being said, I've been in program a long time. I said I came in, I think my son was 3, he's now 38. I still cannot have any kind of nut butter in my house. As a matter of fact, it's like Pavlov's dog. I say it out loud and I start to salivate. I've given everything to my higher power, but for some reason, he has wanted me to keep this. So after years of being abstinent, I now have young grandchildren. I decided I was going to make something with them for breakfast that included a nut butter. And I bought it and we made it and they didn't like it. And it was still in my house because how could I throw away a 90% full jar of that? And then I realized, what am I keeping this for? I have to throw it out. And I did. So I have learned, just make anyone tell how long I'm in program, I cannot have that in my house. And when I have lived with people, that was the only thing I said, please, if you could eat anything like that, eat it outside the house. And even with my ex-husband, you know, he knew that if he was going to have something before he kissed me, I would wash his teeth. Okay, so that's it with the food. But for the most part, food neutrality. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Sandy Kay. Before we hear from Brandy M., just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 102, the third paragraph, beginning with, many of us keep liquor, and it ends on page 103, top of page 103, ought to decide for themselves. And also just want to remind everybody, too, that although we value your experience and we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others that might be able to share their experience, too. So after we hear from Brandy M., I will take some more names. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Brandy M. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. What do I want to share today around this? So first I want to share that I'm so grateful to the Big Book and the anniversary today being April 10th. This book saved my life. And so throughout the day, I'm just going to remember that, to take a quiet moment and just say thank you. Thank you, God, because this book can solve all of my problems. I'm always like, pinch me, because I don't understand how this happens. This is beyond me. This is totally a spiritual experience. I was totally that person who could not have any binge foods in my house. I used to tell people if they wanted them, then they needed to keep them in their cars or they needed to hide them from me, and so that I couldn't see them. And all I can, you know, see today is, you know, my spiritual connection keeps me free from that mental obsession, and total neutrality with all food has become, you know, how it is for me, which is so amazing because, yeah, I'm a bottom feeder, compulsive eater, and I couldn't be around that. I had Jones for it. And, you know, I like what somebody said. It wasn't always this way. The first couple of months were very hard, and I didn't have the food in my house, and I didn't bake cookies with my kids, and I didn't do any of that because I needed to get abstinent, and I needed to work through the steps to have that spiritual experience before I got neutral. And so, you know, it doesn't just come after putting down the food. It comes from working the steps and following the directions in the book. And so I always like to be really clear around that because it was really hard when I first put down the food, and I definitely did not instantly get neutral. But today I am, and I'm so grateful. I also like that, you know, it's not my job to judge others and what they do in their homes or what they do around food. And before recovery, I had an opinion about everything, and I wanted to tell you exactly the way you needed to do stuff. And if you didn't follow my script, well, then I was going to get really upset. And, you know, today I still do that once in a while for sure, but I also have a program of recovery where I can repair those situations. So I just find if I stay in my own lane and I stay connected with God and do his will for me, that, you know, I don't need to judge others. That's not my business. And, you know, even in program, people have different food plans. People have different ways to recover. That's not my business either. I just know that what's worked for me is to follow the precise directions in this book. And, you know, I'm going on almost 7 months clean. And that's amazing. I've never had that before. And I've been in program 25 years. I'm a slow learner. So thanks for allowing me to share. And I hope everyone has a happy Easter. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to take some more names. And again, please, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others might share their experience too. So I have
Charles
Heather
H.
W.
Natalie
D.
Natalie D.
Hold on. I heard another man after Charles H. Who was that, please?
George.
Santa H. Natalie B.
I heard something L.
Jerry H.
I heard something L.
Liz.
Jean.
Is it Liz L?
Liz S.
Jean L.
Okay, but that's the name I heard. Who is that?
Jean, like blue jean. Jean L.
Got it, Jean L. Thank you. All right. Hard to hear with all everybody palling in. Okay. So this is who I have, and hopefully we'll have time for I actually heard Jean L. before Liz S., so I'm going to put Jean there. If we have time for you, Liz S., we'll do it. So I have Heather W., Charles H., George G., Santa H., Natalie. I didn't get the first initial of your last name. And
Natalie B.
I got it, Natalie B. Thank you. And then I'll have Jean L. and Liz S. All right. Heather W., go ahead, please, followed by Charles H.
Oh, hey, good morning, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered in Baltimore. So grateful for the opportunity to share on the line. And this is a powerful paragraph, as every paragraph really is, but many of us keep liquor in our homes. And, you know, for a long, long time in OA, before I worked through this book with a recovered sponsor, there was no way I could have my alcoholic foods in my home. Because if I had them around me, I would binge. I had no control. I had no neutrality. And of course, as a lot of you probably know, if a compulsive eater wants to eat, you know, not having it in my home didn't stop me. I would just go to other people's homes and then steal their food, and eat it all. And this is while I'm in OA, thinking that I'm abstinent. It was craziness. And then I worked through the steps outlined in this book with a recovered sponsor. And wow, the as been shared, the neutrality I have. I'm married now. My husband loves to eat whatever he loves to eat, and that's fine. And I can be around it, you know, and stuff can sit out, and I can open the refrigerator. It does not call to me. It is not mine. I always like to say, you know, I have total freedom. I can sit around the table full of people eating and drinking whatever, and it is fine. In the paragraph, you know, it says, some of us still serve it to our friends. I've been asked before parties, hey, can you pick this up? Can you bring this, you know, pick up this sugar thing? that is fine. It's a party. Of course that my friend should have it. You know, it's not mine. I'm not going to eat it, but I could pick something up and bring it to a party. And as it ends, you know, just with everybody ought to be able to decide for themselves. And I think about when I'm around people who I see doing, you know, some stuff with food that I used to do, if they want to eat it around me, that's fine. And I'm not going to tell people, oh, that's not good for you, or maybe you should look into OA. That's not my role. You know, I'm a living message. I say no. I share the food allergies and limitations I have, and that's that. You know, everyone can decide for themselves. So just really grateful to be able to share this and to be on the line with you all, and I will pass.
Thank you, Heather W. Charles H., you're up, followed by George G. Good morning, Charles.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. So I'm recovered and I'm neutral, but I ain't stupid. I'm not going on crack house to preach to somebody to tell them to put down a crack pipe. Yet I can go to McDonald's, and if, you know, my family eat those things, I've been hearing those comments around the line. Thank you very much. I can go, but I'm not going preaching to nobody saying, hey, you should put that down, or you shouldn't buy that Big Mac, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that. You know, everybody recovers at their own pace, you know. If I go to a barbershop, I'm getting a haircut. You know, we don't hear that. But, you know, everybody has their perspective, and everybody has, you know, I respect that lady that told the truth. Like, why would I want to go somewhere and wear a OA cape saying, OA man, no, I'm covered by grace and common sense. Because, see, common sense ain't that common. You know, it ain't. Because, you know, I've been in vision for a long time. Hadn't had the abstinence and the recovery for that long, right? Because, you know, food is the solution to my problem when I hear somebody share every day, or when I hear them moderate and then answer three questions. That stuff bothers me. So I'm so grateful for this new format, not just for me, but for me, so I can hear other people that always come on the line and say, I'm so, you know, I've never shared before. This ain't no stage. This is just about, you know, people sharing their experience, strength, and hope, staying recovered. And you know, it's going to say in a couple of paragraphs that, you know, no alcoholic likes a witch burner. You know, don't be a witch burner. Don't be a witch burner. You know, because it says it's stupidity. We're going to hear that next week. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Charles H., George G., you're up, followed by Santa H. Good morning, George.
George G., I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, I just moved in a new apartment, so I appreciate the part of the reading about in light of our own circumstances, because I'm trying to redesign my life best I can. It's just so much at once. You know, I had a lot of trouble outfitting this place, and you know, I can't just come back here every time I eat a meal. You know, it just was not the way I was living before I came here. And it does say elsewhere in the chapter, it says, you know, any program based on avoidance, I'm paraphrasing, but it probably isn't going to work. You know, I'm grateful for the meeting. I really needed a meeting. I couldn't... I haven't been to the Vision for You meeting in quite some time. In fact, I think the last time I was here, they didn't have this second session during the morning. But right now, there aren't a lot of brick-and-mortar meetings. In fact, there are none in OA in this area. You know, I'm struggling here. You know, I tried a new food, adding a new food, partly because I moved, and I'm not sure which aspect of it seemed to incite me to binge yesterday. You know, my blood sugar wasn't that bad, but I have issues with measuring my result, you know, not measuring my food, measuring my result. Which are health related, and body badly burned by alcohol, I think was the phrase used in the Big Book. So I read the Big Book. I always replace, I don't necessarily replace alcohol with sugar, like it seems like some people in this meeting do, but because I can abuse any food, you know, I can binge on any food. So I'm relatively new to the program. I've been going to meetings for a while. I do have a sponsor, but I'm kind of on the lookout for another one. And I have made good contacts through this meeting. That's one of the reasons I came back here. So I won't talk any longer, and I wish everybody a great day. And these holidays are always rough, you know, Passover, Easter. So I wish everybody a joyous one with abstinence. Thanks.
Well, thank you, George. And please stay on the line and give your name and phone number out, and you'll get some calls. Welcome back home, George. Santa H., you're up, followed by Natalie B. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning to my fellows. And thank you all for Team Friday for your service. And thank you all who shared before me. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Montclair, New Jersey. And I'm also want to give shout-out to, like Charles did, you know, I love this new rule, and it's so nice to be able to hear new voices on the line. And, you know, even I'll step back even more just so that I can hear new voices and people don't always start to hear me, even if it's just no more than 3 days. It could be longer for me. So I'm grateful for that and helping me to keep my ego in check, that reminder from Charles. What came up for me, you talked about having it in your home and not having it in your home. It came up to me, a situation that I have been experiencing is about honesty around food. I live in a community where my neighbors are very loving, and we do for each other. And one of the things they like to do for each other is show their gratitude by offering food. And I was taking it. I wasn't eating it. I was taking it. Because I knew, you know, that I was thinking at the time that, you know, they meant it from their heart, and they do. And my guy brought it to my attention that I was not being honest because I was tossing the food out or I was giving it away to someone where no thank you is a sentence. And that I, you know, I had someone gave me, you know, because she knows I'm a vegan. She gave me a vegan dish. You know, it was just a wonderful dish. And I had to go back out there, and it was the hardest thing to do was to go back out there and turn it over and give it back to her and say, I cannot have this, and tell her why. And so I think it's important, you know, just to not have it in my home. I don't have it in my home. There's no reason for me to have it in my home. When I do go out, I still have people asking me, you know, for some, because everyone doesn't know that I don't need it, and I have to continue to say no thank you. But, you know, saying no thank you also is not a bad idea to do when people are wanting to give it to me, and not to be ashamed about that anymore. And that was a rude awakening for me. You know, it was a difficult process, but I was seeing how I was being so dishonest and not owning up and honoring myself and not worrying about hurting other people's feelings because I wasn't receiving, you know, their food. But I do appreciate it. And I hear background noise, so I'm going to stop with that. And thank you for allowing me to share, Sherry, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. And Natalie B., you're up, followed by Jean L. Good morning, Natalie.
Hi, good morning. This is Natalie B., recovering compulsive overeater. It's really good to be on the phone line. That reading was really great because I was really powerful because I'm in program about 3 months, and again after returning, but I'm working the steps this time, and I'm around the triggering foods, but it's okay because you know that I know that there are certain foods that are like my alcohol that I just have a difficult time, and especially when I'm around my mom and my brother, they seem to be able to eat what they want and maintain weight and healthiness, and it's not my business. I've always been compulsively consumed with what they were able to eat versus what I wasn't able to eat. And I am having some breakthroughs. You know, my mom wanted to stop at a fast food restaurant at a Panda Express. I usually cannot say no. I have to say, okay, I feel like I have to appease her. But I was able to turn it over to my higher power, and I didn't have to judge her. I didn't have to say, okay, well, she's having this moment, or she wants this food, you know, or she's snacking all the time. I didn't have to be involved in it, and that's very powerful, I'm just really grateful for that. I don't have to be consumed when my brother is eating whole pizzas. I don't have to. It's their choice. You know, it's not my choice, and I never realized I had choice in the past. I always thought I had to take what I was offered, and even if I knew it was going to hurt me, or it would hurt my stomach or affect me metabolically. And so it's a new day, and it's today, and I'm very grateful to be able to say that. So thank you very much. That I'll pass.
Thank you, Natalie B. Jean L., you're up. And we'll see what we can do with Liz S. Jean L., go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Jean L. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm really grateful for this format. This part in the book, I currently live alone, and I love the peace of coming home and knowing that I have a neutral environment. But like another person shared, my recovery will not be successful if I try to, just avoid. However, I loved the humor from the one gentleman who said, you know, I ain't stupid. I don't have small children. I don't have a significant other right now. So my house is peaceful. When I come home, it is a safe environment. However, I did live with an individual who kept a trunk load, literally a trunk load of high sugar items. And I used to break into it in the evenings when I was ill. And I kept thinking, if he wasn't here and if he didn't have this, I wouldn't do this. And finally, at that particular time, when I put the food down, it was like, no, I just surrendered. It was like, he could have mounds of it eat in front of me, and I was just done. And I think that's what's so powerful about this part of the book is when I was done and willing to go to any lengths to recover and do what was suggested, I was placed in that position of neutrality. And so those foods were around, but I didn't... they didn't talk to me, and it was such a feeling of peace. This book is so powerful, and I'm just so grateful for this meeting. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Janelle. And Liz S., you have about a minute and a half. Go ahead, Liz S.
Hi, it's Liz S., recovered from New Hampshire. A minute and a half is just perfect. I just want to express my gratitude not only for these meetings, but for this book. And I think that the way I relate to this paragraph is I don't keep my non-abstinent foods in the house, but what I have to remember is my abstinent foods can be at risk if my head's not in the right place. And I just put that out there because, there have been times when I wanted to eat, well, maybe too much plain non-fat yogurt, too much egg, but that all depends on my fit spiritual condition. I have to maintain at all times because any food, something I can binge on if I'm not mindful and aware of that. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. And that's all the time we have for sharing today. Thank you for all your great shares. And I want to thank Team Friday for their wonderful service today. And let's go ahead and have Julie E.B. read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only on page 164. And keep you until then.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understood God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you.